You're listening to the Ruskin is Ranting podcast. Now your host, Derek Ruskin.
Off and running on another edition of the Ruskin is Ranting podcast. As the man with the deep voice said, I'm Derek Ruskin. A lot to get into. Glad you're with us, downloading us. SoundCloud, hitthatline.com, iTunes, however you're hearing the show. We really do appreciate you stopping by. Well, the Razorbacks managed to waste a 32-point effort from their best player on Saturday and lose to LSU at home, 94-88. That's four losses at Bud Walton Arena for the Razorbacks. And we have this one overriding theme that keeps being brought up time and time again, over and over again, and it seems like that you're either on one side of the argument or the other, but I'm here to tell you both sides are true. And that is the fact that once again on this telecast with the LSU-Arkansas game, they brought up that Arkansas is one of seven teams in college basketball that does not have any seniors on the roster. Now, never mind that some of these teams that are in the top 25 may have seniors on the roster that can't play dead in a Western. But that's a big deal all of a sudden. They don't have any seniors on the roster. So the youth has been brought up a lot and the inexperience, and you're either on one or two sides of the fence. It's either an excuse for a performance or it's a reason for the performance. That's the way, hey, this is what it is. It's the reason it is the way it is, the inexperience. I'm here to tell you that both things are true. Sometimes there are more than one side to a coin. Well, obviously, there's two sides to a coin. But sometimes both things can be true when you're having a discussion like this. The inexperience is an excuse. It's very convenient. And it's only thrown out when they lose. But it's also a reason why we're seeing some of the things that we're seeing with this Arkansas basketball team going 0-2 at home in conference play, which is a big, big no-no. Now, this team was never going to compete for a conference championship anyway. So the fact that they went 0-2 during a week in conference play is not really that big of a deal. That's only a big deal if you're like competing for one of the top four spots, which they were never going to get anyway. So it's not a big, it's a big deal, but it's not a big deal that they lost two home games during the same week and that they're going to lose their next two games because they're not beating Tennessee on Tuesday night. And I don't think they're beating Ole Miss. Have you seen what Kermit Davis is doing at Ole Miss? Kermit Davis, funny name, series head coach. Man, that guy can get it done. Ole Miss has, I mean, he is MacGyvering Ole Miss right now. They got nothing over there. They got a roll of duct tape, some toothpicks, and some tin foil, and he's made a bomb. It's amazing. It's amazing what's going on at Ole Miss. Anyway, back to Arkansas. I think both sides are right, and that's a very politically correct way to say things, and I know that's not really the what you wanted to hear. But listen, the inexperience is totally an excuse. It is absolutely, the youth is an excuse for why Arkansas plays bad. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But it's also kind of a reason that they play bad. I mean, think about it. These guys have never been through an SEC schedule. They've never been actually guarded like this yet this year, the way they're being guarded. They're shooting 25% from three in three league games. Isaiah Joe can't be found. I don't know what's going on there. He might be hurt. Who knows? Who knows what's going on there? There's no names out there. But the problem is, or one of the problems is, it's not the problem. But when you get, and it has been established through three games or through three conference games, and for more games than that too. The two best players are who? Gafford and Mason Jones, right? Those two give you 54 out of the 88. I mean, you can't spoil that effort with an L. Like, you got to win that game. Because you're not, now Gafford's great, but you're not going to get 30 every night. I think you should. I think the offense should be tailored where he does get 30 every night. He took 19 shots. That's much better. Why does it always take with coaches in all sports? This is not an Anderson thing. This is a coaching thing. Why does it always take one stupid performance for people to go, oh yeah, We should give him the ball more. Like, this happens in football all the time. Where, remember when Arkansas lost to Toledo and they threw it like 50 times and they hardly ran it? And they're like, oh, yeah, we got some good running backs. Why don't we run the ball now? It's like, how do these things happen? And why is there no one there kind of nudging the head coach going, hey, we need to run the ball more? Or, hey, you know, Daniel's only got 4 shots. Like, I don't understand how that works. In all sports, where it's like, particularly football and basketball, I guess. I don't know if it applies as much in baseball. Because you're usually rolling with the guys you got. I mean, you're not really going to have a 300 hitter sitting on the bench, usually. But in football and basketball, it's like, hey, you know, we've got, I don't know, we've got Jerry Rice over here. He's only been targeted twice in the game. Might want to throw it to him. How does this happen in sports? I don't understand. Back to Arkansas basketball. They lose to LSU. It wasn't, I mean, they can't shoot any threes all of a sudden. The defense gets real. The length gets real in conference play. So there's still an adjustment there. I'm not going to say anything about the direction of the program until February 15th. I said that on last week's show. I'll reiterate it again because what is happening is exactly what I told you would happen, is that they will flop around in January. Everybody's going to get pissed and start wanting Mike fired. And then what happens is everybody looks stupid that says that because they end up winning 6 in a row in February and going into March. And then they end up falling bass-ackwards into the SEC Tournament Championship game. This happens every single year. Why won't it happen again this time? So I'm not saying anything about direction of the program or coach in the big picture sense. I can criticize game decisions, like why Daniel Gafford has 4 shots. But the big picture stuff, I'm leaving alone till February 15th. Now, Tennessee, these 2 studs, we'll talk about that a little bit later when we preview the Tennessee game for you. But man, they're looking at a 4-game losing streak. Think about that. They're looking at a 4-game losing streak, and that's why the home games matter so much, because a losing streak can snowball on you quickly if you don't take care of business at home. I really believe that both things are true here. The inexperience is a very convenient excuse for the people that love Mike Anderson, but it's also a legitimate reason as to why we've seen this team. I mean, why else would there be so many just bonehead defensive breakdowns in overtime and in late in the second half of this LSU game? Well, it's inexperience. That's true. I hate it. I hate that the thing can be boiled down into one simple little explanation like that. But it's kind of true. An experienced team probably wins that game. An experienced team does win that game. Now, even though LSU beat them in here last year with Macon and Barford, I understand all that. But I don't know. 4 losses in Bud Walton Arena in 1 year is weird. And there's going to be more to come. I don't think we're done with that. So, interesting times with basketball. But again, everything is going according to what I said it would. Last week on the first show is everybody, they're going to lose in January. Everybody's going to get mad. And what's going to happen? Late February, they'll be hot again. So wait, what goes every year? Every time you count out Mike Anderson, there's a resurrection. And they end up playing pretty well. Will they make the NCAA tournament? I don't think so. I have a question about the NCAA tournament for a second while we're on that conversation. They got rid of the RPI, and they brought in this thing called the net. And why couldn't they just tweak the RPI again? Like, what we got to change everything here with the net? Are they going to release rankings every week still like they did with the they started that in basketball because it was so wildly popular with the college football playoff deal. This sport matters for about 6 weeks. That's it. So really lock into college basketball on February 15th. You've got about a month from today. There's a lot of stuff that's got to unravel over the next month. And then start paying close attention to Lenardi and all that stuff. Don't get worked up about it till then. It's not worth it. Nothing meaningful happens until we get to mid-February. Then there's 3 weeks there. There's 3 weeks for the tournament. And then it's on to the Masters. Just like Jim Nantz, it's on to the Masters at that point. All right, it's a Ruskin is Ranting podcast. Again, so happy that you have hit the subscribe button or left a review or interacted in some way. We appreciate it very much. Go to hitthatline.com to find out more. It's only going to grow. We're going to have more and more stuff available for you at hitthatline.com. We're not done with this episode yet, though. Got some football to talk about. Stay where you are.
You're listening to the Ruskin is Ranting podcast.
So things continue to spin around with Razorback football, as we're not surprised after a 2-10 season. There's going to be a lot of things that spin around. Ty Story has entered the transfer portal, which sounds like something that Krang was in charge of on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back then. You remember Krang was in the body of that big ugly dude with the bald head, but Krang was the brain located in the stomach for some reason, not into the head. And he was like, he was the brains of the outfit. The transfer portal. It sounds like a really interesting place. That'd be a great name for a bar, by the way. Like, if you had a college town, a college bar, and your football team isn't that good, and people are leaving all the time, you should call your bar the transfer portal. That's not a bad idea, actually. If anybody would like to invest in the transfer portal bar, you know, there's some real estate on Dixon Street available where we can make this happen. And we can have those conversations at another time if you're interested in a sports bar called the transfer portal. Look, Morris is... done a couple interviews. There's nothing he can say that's going to change anything for the next 9 months. People are going to be wherever they're going to be, and nothing's going to change. I don't even know if the recruiting is going to change anybody's position when they have the next signing day coming up in February. You're either here or here. There's nothing he can say. He is not left lane hammer down. That's about the most colorful thing he's said. He is just, if you don't have speed, you're chasing it. He is not Houston Nutt when it comes to these little folksy sayings. Okay? Right now, he's not Houston Nutt in terms of being a head football coach either, but that remains to be seen. So Ty Story enters the transfer portal. You know, this is a good move. Ty can't run this system. He's probably a nice person and, you know, a good teammate and all of those things, but he can't run this offense. This offense is so quarterback. You wonder if they'll ever get a quarterback here that's good enough to do this, because think of the quarterbacks that have really ran this system and have mastered it. I mean, they're all just anomalies. Deshaun Watson, they're not just Deshaun Watsons walking around. There's maybe one a year across all college football that is signed. One or two. So you're relying on, out of however many 300-something quarterbacks that are signed, or however many there are, you want the one or two that's got the Deshaun Watson. Well, what about Trevor Lawrence? See, the thing is, it's almost a detriment when we have a Trevor Lawrence or a Deshaun Watson who were so successful at Clemson, Taj Boyd before that, because they make it look so easy that you just think anybody can do that. What Trevor Lawrence did against Alabama is miraculous. Like, I know Alabama has had its issues and there's a lot of turnover there, and I don't want to talk about Bama coming up here in a second. But what Trevor Lawrence did, we were all witness to a miracle. You do realize that. That was a miracle. To tear up that defense like that and be, what, 18, 19 years old? That's crazy. Anyway, that's what you're looking for. The skill set, it is all on the quarterback in this offense. He's got to do everything at the line of scrimmage. And if you can't process that stuff quickly, I'm amazed at Drew Brees watching some of these NFL games. And Drew Brees is just the decision making. It's really impressed me. I've really been drawn in my time away. I've just been really awed by a couple of things. Number one, how pitchers can make a ball move like that. How they can make it spin and twist and dance and all that. Like that's amazing when you think about it. We take it for granted, but that's amazing. And then how a football player, how a quarterback can throw a ball 25 yards and hit a target squarely over and over and over. I mean, it's amazing. It's not just the arm talent, though. You've got to have the brains in this system. You've got to have the know-how. That's how it works. Because what's going to happen now, and I think it's only going to get more difficult. Because what's going to happen more and more, if teams can pull it off, and not everybody can, but if teams can be more deceptive, the only way to counteract these modern offenses is for the defenses to disguise everything until the snap of the ball. That's the only way. Now, we've seen some of that in professional football, but those are professionals who get to work on it for hours and hours, weeks and weeks. Can there be defenses that can disguise well enough, kind of like Clemson did against Alabama with Venables? But again, they had technically a week to prepare, but they admitted after the game, they'd been preparing for Alabama all year. And they spent more time during the long idle period after the ACC championship game working on Alabama than Notre Dame. That is a calculated risk, but boy, did it pay off. Boy, did it pay off for Clemson with a national championship. But will teams figure out a way to install this kind of disguising? That's the only way. Nothing else works. We've seen it all. You can have all the pass rushers. You can have great corners. It doesn't matter. You've got to, everything is pre-snap now with football. And you've got to disguise it until the absolute last second, until the snap of the ball. What happens in every football game now? The offense lines up, then they all look to the sideline. They're getting information from upstairs on how the defense is aligned to tell the offense what to do. Well, if the defense is kind of half aligned or disguised or fake disorganized, what kind of information do you get from upstairs? Well, what it's this look. You could be wrong. So it's really going to be more and more difficult as the defenses try and catch up for quarterbacks to stay in here. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback at Arkansas next year. I don't think they know. I don't think they knew last spring who the quarterback was going to be. That's not a really ideal position to be in. Like, every coach says, and they're full of it, about we want competition and on and on and on. That's crap. You want to know who your guy is as soon as you can so you can invest all your resources in getting that guy ready. They should have never played Cole Kelly last year. They should have moved him to tight end in training camp. Maybe they'd have got one more win. Another issue I have with coaches when a season is going into the toilet is they're always the last to know the season's in the toilet. Like, we know before they do. I would have put Connor Nolan would have started at least six games if I was the because you might lose him to the other sport now. And he could probably run this system with more experience. I know he could. But now, I mean, he may go with Dave Van Horn. where they win down at baseball. So football is interesting. We'll see what happens here. But again, there's not going to be any big change. Like, is there anything that, one way or the other, if you like Morris, I mean, you like him. There's nothing he can say that's going to make you go the other way. And if you're not happy with Arkansas football, which is perfectly fine, why would you be happy with 2-10? I don't understand that. And there's nothing he's going to say for 9 months that's going to make you go, hey, you know what? That's actually okay over there. They'll be fine. To me, there's no evidence yet that they'll be fine. To me. Because none of this stuff matters until it's put into results and wins on the football field. Alabama's recruiting matters because they follow it up with wins. Georgia's recruiting matters because they follow it up with wins. Period. That's it. More coming up. This is the Ruskin is Ranting Podcast.
You're listening to the Ruskin is Ranting Podcast.
We'll go outside the footprint now, and you got to love it for Chiefs fans. They get their first AFC Championship game coming up on Saturday, or on Sunday, taking on the Patriots up at Arrowhead, the night game. We'll preview that a little bit, but let's go back and talk about what the Chiefs did. Less than ideal conditions. I mean, it was snowing at the start of the game, and they got it done against Indianapolis. And that's good because the weather is going to be worse Sunday night, like cold, like single digits possibly at Arrowhead. So to have some experience in bad weather for Mahomes and to have a win, and they played pretty well on offense, obviously that's going to be big because Brady's got a lot of experience in bad weather playing in Foxborough for almost 20 years. Cowboys couldn't get it done. The Saturday games, the teams kind of ran away and hid, and there was no real ability for a comeback. Certainly for Indianapolis, Cowboys got close, but the Rams ran away with it early on. And then the Patriots obviously ran away with their game. The best game was the Eagles and the Saints game, where the Eagles actually ran away 14-0, and then the Saints came back. Sean Payton and Drew Brees have never lost at the Dome in the playoffs. And they got the Rams coming in on Sunday, and I don't think they're going to lose again. The Super Bowl is weird. This is the last real weekend of football because the Super Bowl is football, but it's this weird combination of pop culture, and you don't watch the Super Bowl like you watch the conference championship games or a Week 11 game. You're actually watching football. There's all this other stuff that you got to pay attention to because now you got to watch the commercials and now you got to make sure everybody's got food and there's people coming over. And it's just a different experience with the Super Bowl. So this is the last like football weekend we have until, well, I guess if you're going to watch the Alliance of American Football, Canadian football, college football is in September, but this is it. These are actual football games without all of the glitz and glamour of the Super Bowl. But let's look at these Super Bowl potential matchups for a second here. Rams-Patriots. Pretty good. Greatest coach ever. Youngest coach. Trying to prove himself. Get a Super Bowl. Be a big deal. That would be outstanding. Saints-Patriots. I mean, come on. Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Two of the best quarterbacks left that we have from the era of the early 2000s, late 90s. The two of the best we have. Two of the oldest we have, but they're still getting it done at a high level. And two of the best head coaches, too, with Sean Payton and Belichick. Payton doesn't have the rings, but, man, is he terrific. Okay. Chiefs-Rams. Well, they played the greatest Monday night game maybe in 20 years earlier this year. That crazy shootout at the Coliseum. Chiefs Saints. We're not going to lose. Like, there's not a Super Bowl matchup that we can go, oh, man, that's disappointing. I mean, the closest thing would be, what, Rams-Patriots maybe? I mean, there's not a losing hand here. Eagles-Patriots, a rematch, would have kind of been a losing hand. We already saw that game. And you know who would have won the second time around, New England. So we kind of avoided that. But now we're in a position as fans where, like, we kind of can't lose with the Super Bowl this year. I think the potential for a dud is very low. Now, this has been a year of kind of underwhelming football games. Like, we haven't had those handful of games outside. Well, we had the Monday night game with the Chiefs and the Rams. Other than that, there's not been all these games that just make you go, wow, what a game. So are we due one, or are we just not going to have one? That's one of the things that's been weird. Even in college, we didn't have that weekend that just blew your hair back with upsets and crazy plays and last-second heroics. We didn't really have that. So looking forward to championship weekend. We'll have more on that later on in the week. As we get going here on the Ruskin is Ranting podcast. Tuesday night, Arkansas and Tennessee in basketball. Oh, boy. Tennessee is really good. I don't know if you, what's the old Tim Kirkton line? The Vols are really good. 14-1. They haven't lost at home. Williams and Schofield, man. But Williams, 19 a game. Schofield, about 18 a game. They are coming off of a win at Florida where they chomped, the Gator chomped on the floor in Gainesville. I love that. Because if you don't get to be cocky in athletics when you're good, like, when can you? Earn the right. You know how you keep them? This is the oldest saying there is, but it's also the most true saying there is. You know how you keep them from Gator chomping on your floor if you're Florida? Beat them. Beat them. That's how you keep it from happening. They beat Georgia. They beat Missouri on the road. They beat Florida on the road. So they're back home scoring about 87 a game in conference play. Remember, they pistol whipped Georgia by 46 in the conference opener. Arkansas cannot lose to these guys by 46. That could happen, though. If Arkansas doesn't fix this leaking defense, there's going to be open shots all over the place. I mean, seriously. They have got to fix the defensive end. This is going to be one of those years where every game something new breaks for a while. Okay, so in the game prior to LSU, the Florida game, the offense was broken. They couldn't get Gafford the ball. Then in the LSU game, they got Gafford the ball and the defense was broken. Lots of missed assignments, wide open looks. Can they put it all together? They're going to have to put it all together to beat Tennessee. There's no doubt about that. Can they do it? We haven't seen it yet. And do you really want to play your best game on January 15th? I don't think so. Not in the least. That'll be on Tuesday night, of course. And then Ole Miss on the road. So two road games this week for the Razorback basketball team as they try and avoid. It seems like every year they have a bad start in conference play. They could be 1-4 in league play after Saturday. After the close of business Saturday, they could be 1-4. Boy, it feels like that happens every year, doesn't it? And then what happens? They end up decent. 10-8, you know, somewhere in that range, just a little bit above, just enough above 500. 10-8, 9-9, maybe at 500. They were 12-6. Let me look at the 12-6 here real quick and see how that started out. Started out 1-3. Then they won 5 straight. So if you look at Arkansas, get through this week, and then they'll probably win 4 or 5 in a row. They got Missouri at home. Texas Tech, they're not beating Texas Tech. But that game is such a weird anomaly because it counts, but it doesn't matter. How about Chris Beard at Texas Tech, what they're doing, man? Oh, terrific. I haven't paid a lot of attention to college basketball, but I know they're good. Georgia, who's up and down with Tom Crean in his first year. At LSU, you owe them one. But it's a road game. Vanderbilt's not that good. They could definitely win 4 of their next 5 after this week when they lose to Tennessee and Ole Miss. That's totally doable. This is shaping up to be another Mike Anderson season at Arkansas. Start out 1-4 in the league and then rally back. And before you know it, they've won 5 in a row. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Ruskin is Ranting podcast. Of course, you can find us anytime. Listen to old episodes at hitthatline.com in the SoundCloud area. You can get on SoundCloud and subscribe to our playlist and listen. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes. We are going to do a couple episodes a week, maybe a third one if news warrants. And we're going to be here Tuesdays and Thursdays is our published dates. So every Tuesday and Thursday, get something new here for the Ruskin is Ranty podcast. Hitthatline.com, SoundCloud, Apple, Spotify. You can get it all there. Any way you can listen. It's simply said wherever podcasts are found. That's where you can hear us. Wherever podcasts are found. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Ruskin is Ranting podcast. I'm Derek Ruskin. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to the Ruskin is Ranting podcast.